listener production. Like some to die for yogurt on some perfectly soaked bircher.
Bad boys get all the yum yum.
Yes.
Yum yum good. Yum yum good.
It's Matt and Alex all day breakfast.
See, people on the internet were angry, Alex Dyson, because...
Sounds like I'm like them.
I know, very rare occasion of the internet.
A bit out of character.
No, they're a bit annoyed because a property in Western Sydney was listed as $0 rent.
Per week?
For the whole year.
So a free room?
Free, not room, a whole house, a whole property, free, $0 rent.
Now, I've heard the saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. I've got a feeling that there's a catch coming up here. Right? What is the catch?
Well, apparently the house is just a little unlivable at the moment. And the landlord has generously offered a year's free rent.
Yeah.
If a tenant would, with some, you know, handyman help, might like to renovate it for them. Right? So you do a little bit of a reno.
Yeah.
You get to live there.
You pay for the plasterboard and the paint and the new kitchen stoves and those sort of things. That's the rent.
And then apparently you have to lock into a 3-year contract for this rent, okay? So you live there for the first year for free, and then years 2 and 3, after you've made it livable, apparently the rent is to be negotiated in good faith.
Oh, good faith. Well, that sounds like all... all real estate deals are done that way, so that'll be great.
Yeah. Oh, it's intrinsically in every landlord's bones, good faith.
Well, I talked to my real estate agent and I'm like, rent's going up $70 of the thing. She's like, oh, well, you can always, you know, make an offer and that kind of thing. So I went through, I'm like, okay, instead of $70 rise, how about if I make it a $45 rise? And they go, no, not willing to do that. Like, well, what is the point of this?
Well, maybe get some tools out and start bloody doing the skirting board and stuff. And you'll be able to get it down $5.
Unbelievable.
Pull your bloody weight, mate. Nothing comes for free. Hey, except for this podcast. That's right. Matt and Alex is here with you. $0 every day. And you don't even have to renovate us, mate. We're all yours. It's going to be an absolutely massive Thursday.
Well, occasionally we do a podcast that is a renovator's delight, let's be honest. But today is not one of those days because... not only is Matt O'Kine blowing your mind, but we're also going to be taking a trip underground.
Yeah, that's right. Grab the shovel and let's dig in. It's Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast. Hope you're having a good one.
This is just the start.
Everyone ready?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
All right, Alex Dyson and producer Bron. Big, big question. You ready?
I'm ready.
Trying to think what this big question would be. You're not down on one knee.
How much money would you charge to spend 500 days alone in a dark cave? 70 meters below the earth.
So someone says to me, hey, we need you to come in this cave for 500 days. What's your going rate?
Yeah, exactly. What would you want? Is it any less than a milli?
What's your $500,000? Sorry.
$500,000 fee, yes.
Yeah. This is me not in a cave. Imagine me after a few days in a cave. Oh, my God.
So how much would you charge?
What is that, a year and a half?
Yeah, a year and a half.
I don't know. I'm a rat, not a bat, so I don't think I'd fare too well in the dank areas. Although, I've been known to get lost in a rave cave and...
Oh, never come out. He came out grey-haired with a beard. It was nasty down there. Yeah, what do you reckon? A mil?
500 days. I don't think I'd do it for a mil.
You need it more than that these days, hey?
Yeah, I'd need 5 mil.
5 mil, you reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, I mean, you're asking a fair bit there, mate.
Oh, yeah. So were they. 500 days in a cave. It depends. What kind of cave? Is it like the in Jordan, Petra? Like a sweet... palace in built into rock?
Yeah, what amenities do I have?
You have nothing. You have nothing. You are 70 meters below the earth's surface. People have to drop you water and food that you cannot talk to them at all. Okay?
Mm.
So a 50-year-old athlete from Madrid is now thought to have broken the world record for the longest time a person has spent alone in a cave. All right. Their name is Beatriz Flamini. She spent that time, right, in a cave saying, she said, people asked her how she survived. She said, I got on very well with myself. She said, yes, she talked to herself, but not ever out loud.
What? You'd use the echoes to your advantage, surely.
Well, she said, after all the silence of the cave, she said, it wasn't my house. Had to be respected. The key, she added, was consistency.
She didn't talk for 500 days. Did she have a light?
Yes, there were lights. She managed to keep fit, plow through 60 books.
So she had books.
She had two cameras to chronicle her experiences for a documentary.
How did she chronicle it without talking?
She didn't talk to herself. She talked to the camera. Obviously.
Maybe that's it. She said that there were flies, an invasion of flies. They came, they laid their larvae, and I didn't control it, and so I suddenly ended up being enveloped by flies.
I'm going to need more money.
I'm going to be invoking the fly surcharge, thank you, to my 5 mil.
So, I mean, the reason why I ask is because a couple of years ago, right, I don't know if you remember this, about 12 years ago now, they did the Mars 500 challenge.
Oh, yeah. Let's try and see what it'd be
this
like.
This is where they got seven guys six guys, three Russian, one Italian, one French, and one Chinese. They got them to live in a 180 square meter capsule that they called home. So they had to stay in the capsule, and then there was a tiny little garden of red dirt that they, after the 250 days there, because the idea was supposed to be their trip to Mars.
Yep.
So they did 250 days there. They got out and were able to roam around the little red dirt area, and then they got back in and had to spend another 250 days in this capsule, right?
Usually the return journey is quicker. Like, it feels quicker whenever I go somewhere and you go back.
Do you know what? They actually found that most of the men spent a lot more time in bed for the return home. Yeah, they were like, we are sleeping.
Well, I'll give you this. If your rate was, say, 1 million.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we've got some things to pass the time. Oh, we've only got one podcast. We've got every episode of All Day Breakfast, Matt and Alex. Would that rate go up or down as a result?
If I had to listen to our podcast?
Yeah. We go, okay,
maybe all the money in the world. I tell you what, I'd get off at Mars and I'd cut ties to the ship. Leave me here.
Open the airlock out into space.
It's longer than you think. For the people who did it, and I have to add, and this is the bit that I do find, I mean, not at all funny, but very interesting. They chose an all-male crew.
For this Mars one.
Yeah, because an attempt at a similar experiment in 2000, according to theguardian.com, and I've double-checked this, a similar attempt in the year 2000 went terribly wrong when they included a female nurse with a bunch of male astronauts. And then they ended up, forcing her to kiss them during the New Year's celebrations and stuff like that. She's like, this is disgraceful. Like, everyone turned into absolute monsters.
Dudes constantly disappoint me. Right. I found it's funny being a man sometimes. It's like going for a footy club that's constantly in scandal, and it's like, I can't switch my team now, but it's like, guys, just sort it out.
Those guys that did the Mars 500 one, right? And also, by the way, if you do want to check out the nurse who was on that flight, Judith LaPierre has done some incredible research and, papers about that situation because it kind of really actually unfolds as to the needs and the sexual needs of not men but people, astronauts. If we're doing these trips to Mars, etc., we need to actually discuss and explore what sexual needs and intimacy and self-love, etc., needs to be, there needs to be programmed, whether it's people teaming up, whether it's masturbation areas, whatever. But it hasn't been researched as much.
You're saying a wank cave is what you're saying, isn't it?
All the flies, Dyson, all the flies.
I don't know, a bit of buzzing.
Here is... Those guys did it for £61,000 on Mars 500.
That's nowhere near enough.
No. But, I mean, look, everywhere's got different prices and everywhere can get by different things for that amount of money.
Yep.
But, yeah, geez, I tell you what, that's a long 500 days for for £61,000. But granted, their rent was paid for. So
there you go. And all the Mars bars you could eat. All right, thank you. On with the show.
You watch this beef show on Netflix, Alex Dyson?
No, I've been hearing good things. And that makes me go, oh, I'll wait for the heat to die down, then I'll jump into the beef.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I've been hearing really good things as well up until around about yesterday, which was some pretty disturbing, actually, is what I'll say, news that came out regarding one of the stars of the show, David Cho, who it appears once told a story online that revolves around a pretty graphic sexual assault, right?
Told a story. What do you mean by that?
Well, he's on his podcast, right? He has this. He used to have this podcast, and part of the podcast, he was telling this story about a segment called Erection Quest, right? And he claims that he was just telling a story, that it was simply a made-up story, and it was a rather graphic story. And I should, you know, warn people that it revolving a sexual assault of a massage therapist that he went to, right?
Right.
And it is pretty, like, just, you know, full on and not very good.
Is it one of those ones where he thought it would be really funny and everyone's like, whoa?
Well, that is kind of the thing, right? So I believe that he thought that he was being, you know, edgy. Right. Pushing boundaries, was on in a podcast with his friends and everyone was kind of having a laugh, even though one of the girls is saying, you are literally describing sexual assault right now in more, you know, direct terms.
So it didn't get just passed over at the time people have rediscovered the person in there.
One of the girls there's going like, what are you saying? This is ridiculous, right? So anyways, that has resurfaced. And a lot of people are questioning his casting in the show, pointing to the, you know, particular podcast, pointing to a lot of the art that he does as well and wondering why.
What, painting art?
Yeah, he's also an artist, right? And some of the art that he does is fairly full on. At the time, mind you, David did release a statement denying any truth to the story, as said, as quoted by NBCNews.com. Saying it was a complete extension of my art. I never thought I'd wake up one late afternoon and hear myself called a rapist. It sucks, especially because I'm not one. I'm not. Weird that he said I never thought I'd wake up one day and hear myself called that when he told a story literally describing himself do that.
He said that'll do it.
Well, that's the thing. So then a lot of people are saying, well, why was he cast? People are wondering why none of the creators of the show have responded to any of this, or what their beliefs are to it.
So that he released a statement. Was it an apology? And he said, "I did the wrong thing," or it's just like, "Whoa! I never thought I would go through this experience that I did to myself."
It was more of an apology than not. He said, "Here we go. If I'm guilty of anything, it's bad storytelling in the style of douche. Just like many of my paintings are often misinterpreted, the same goes with my show. The main objective of all my podcasts is to challenge and provoke my friends and the co-stars on the show. We F with each other, entertain ourselves, and laugh at each other. It's a dark, tasteless, completely irreverent show where we F with everyone listening, but mostly ourselves. Blah, blah, blah. It's not the place to come for reliable information about me or my life. It's my version of reality. It's art. It sometimes offends people. I'm sorry if anyone believed that the stories were in fact. They were not. In a world full of horrible people, thank God for us.
Oh. If you don't mind, a little bit of teaspoon of sugar to make the medicine go down there at the end. Yeah. How long ago was it?
So that was 2014.
Right.
And it is interesting because a lot of people have obviously started calling him out for it. And here's the other issue that's actually arising from it as well, right? Mm-hmm. So while people are tweeting things like, you know, waiting to hear why Ali Wong and Stephen Ewan made a decision to go give Cho this platform, silence really speaks volumes, etc. other people are saying, you know, the way that he describes this story, right? This is what people are saying. They're saying the way that he describes the story, it's too detailed to not be true, right? So right. Then that goes into, again, a little bit more complicated sort of allegations, because then another sort of sub-story splinters off in Twitter that now suddenly what this guy said is actually true and this is what he does. And then that's problematic in itself as well. So you've got problematic behavior in the beginning, and then you've got
lying
more
about something or
assumption, and problematic behavior to amplify your own tweets, etc. So the outrage machine is going again. And then there is silence from the creators.
That's the problem with like Hollywood, doesn't that happens quite frequently. Often it depends how big you are at a particular point.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's absolutely it. Because sometimes when you say things, you don't have any audience and you assume it will stay like that forever. I mean, I've made jokes that I would be like deeply ashamed to see the light of day. Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's just at the time you think, oh, it's a joke. Then you get older, you understand more, you realize
not as selfish and ignorant.
Yeah, exactly. You realize who the victims in the jokes are. You go, oh, okay. Like, I mean, in no way am I justifying anything this guy's done. I mean, I'm just telling you what happened and why there is controversy around this new show that you might have heard everything about. And I don't know whether this controversy is worth neglecting the great work of so many people, Asian actors and creators who are, you know, willing to amplify positive voices, etc. So, yeah. But I mean, I just thought it was a tough one.
Yeah, and as always, there is that nuance because, I asked how long ago was this in the past? And really, that's an irrelevant question because it's depending on, well, was it redeemed for any of the people who are the victims or, you know, are most hurt by these particular comments. If they're content that it was a mistake, it was an error, and he's adequately addressed it and not tried to sweep it under the rug and somewhat condone the behavior. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. And I just hate those ones because I was at a after party a couple of weeks ago. They're bloody playing R. Kelly. And I'm like, I don't think we can do Ignition Remix. I thought we'd all agreed that was... That was relegated. That was on the bench.
I know.
Hitting that old recycle bin. Then you open the recycle bin and they'll go empty bin. And now it's time for
Mind Blown.
Blown away.
That's right, Matt O'Kine, the Factmaster General in the studio in order to just learn us, just teach us good.
Well, Alex Dyson, did you know that toasting first came essentially in the 6th century BC by the Greeks? Okay, they would toast each other for a very practical reason, according to 14news.com, and that was to make sure that the wine they were drinking had not been poisoned. I mean, we've heard this about clinking glasses together, right? The cheers.
Oh, is that because you slop a little bit of your own drink into the other person's
drink? And then so a little bit of liquid goes into each other's drinks, and no, you can't poison each other.
If you're going down, I'm taking you with me, kind of.
Exactly. Now, the term toasting came from the Romans because they would put a piece of burnt toast into their wine glasses to temper some of the bad wine, all right? The taste, to get rid of the taste of bad wine. So the charcoal from the toast.
That's what bad wine needs, burnt toast in it. That'll make it better.
The charcoal from the toast would make the acidity sort of easier to drink, okay? So
really?
They'd put some burnt toast in the wine. And then they'd chink glasses, and then that was the, you know, toasting that became, to raise a toast.
I thought that was just puns that were in all sorts of TV shows and things nowadays.
No. And then eventually, by the 1700s, people would start raising a toast to people that weren't even at the events, especially people like celebrities. And also, of course, you know, the beautiful ladies in the town that wanted to get the people wanted to sell their sons to or whatever, or vice versa. Anyway.
There's a history lesson for you, courtesy of Matt O'Connor.
That became that those people would be the toast of the town.
Oh, the right? Toast of the town.
Yeah. And so so there you go. That's a bit of history when it comes to the next time you're at the wedding or whatever. And you raise that glass.
Pop a little bit of burnt bread in there.
Don't be afraid to put a little bit of them sourdough offcuts.
That's it. Hey? That's how Matt O'Kine got his name as well.
The crumb. Yeah, maybe that's why I love diving into that wine so much.
Could be it. We also love getting your mind blown. Send them through, matt.and.alex. This week's mind blown comes from Tegan.
I was doing some late night Instagram scrolling and came across a post about how humans can't feel wet. We don't have the sensory receptors for it. We can only feel hot and cold, and then our body works out if something is wet or not. We can't actually feel wet.
No.
Can't feel wet. Well, when you're in the free play zone, Matt, I'd assume you'd be able to feel pretty wet. Splishing and a splashing.
Isn't it that thing that if you put your hand in a bucket of like body temperature water, it doesn't feel like anything? So maybe that's right.
Probably.
It's never occurred to me. I know that ice baths are a big thing at the moment. People are really icing up. Have you heard about this craze?
I've seen it. Like Bondi Beach, they've got ice baths on there and like just
my friend George has just bought a big chest freezer to sit in a garage.
So funny how
he raves about it. I'm like, you're sitting in a freezer, mate. But she loves it. She says like 3 minutes, it makes her feel so much better. She comes to work all chirpy after it.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, I couldn't think of anything worse.
Yeah. You'd be out and you'd feel the cold. You wouldn't feel the wet of the ice bath. You'd just feel absolutely bloody freezing.
Yeah, she turns it off at the wall, by the way, when she does it.
You don't want to get malfunction. Frozen into a human popsicle.
So, yeah,
pulled out by the head.
You don't want to be the next Ozil. Is it Ozil? Ozil?
Who's Ozil?
Ozil.
DJ Otzi?
No.
Hey, hey, baby. Ooh. Ah.
It's the Iceman guy, Otzi.
Oh, from thousands of years ago.
Otzi, yeah. Maybe he just sat in a chest freezer on the northern beaches. Anyway, shout out to you, Tegan. Thank you very much for getting in touch with us. We love hearing your mind blown, don't we?
We certainly do. Matt.and.alex. We will catch you next time.
Bye.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.and.alex.